Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you are able to join me for these next few minutes as we continue on in a message, How to Receive from the Lord. And we know the Word tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm sure all of you listening have a desire to please the Lord. And so what I have felt led of the Lord to do is just share on the subject of faith and to examine what various scriptures have to say about the different kinds of faith that we are able to evidence. And so that's what I want to share with you as we begin today's broadcast, the different kinds of faith that we read about in the Bible, and some of which I'm going to be sharing is common faith, weak faith, strong faith, little faith, great faith, wavering faith, unwavering faith, human faith, sense faith, and divine faith. Now, all of those are actually mentioned in Scripture. The first one you may not be that familiar with, and yet, at least in terms of the term, but it is a term that is used in the Word of God. In Titus 1 and 4, the Word says, to Titus, this is Paul writing, to mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is the greeting that he is opening as he addresses Titus, his son, after the, quote, common faith. Paul also calls it the mutual faith. Romans 1 and 12 says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And why is that term used? Well, when we come to the Lord, when we accept the good news of the gospel and receive salvation, there are certain truths and doctrines, beliefs that we all agree on, that Jesus is Lord. There is such a thing as eternal life, that he died and was buried and rose again on the third day, and that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and that there is a heaven and there is a hell. These are the sorts of things that we believe on, and they are recorded in the Word. And common faith is called common or mutual faith because, as I said, there are commonly accepted truths of the Bible that are accepted by Christians. And so this is what Paul was referring to. And then there is another kind of faith that is mentioned by the Apostle Paul as weak faith. And of course, that's something we don't want to have. But he references it in Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 19. And he was speaking of Abraham. And he said, referring to Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And that is an amazing thing because God had promised him a child out of his own loins. He and Sarah would have a child. They did. They named him Isaac, which means laughter. But it was a miracle. It was impossible in the natural for him or his wife to have a child at that time in terms of the natural. However, God was illustrating to Abraham, who we call the father of the faithful, because even though the natural circumstances say it's impossible, God is not confined by the natural. He is beyond the natural. He is beyond time. He is beyond this plane of experience. He dwells in eternity, and he simply speaks the word, and it will come to pass. Regardless how many years have to pass in our experience, God is faithful who has promised. And then in Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." He's saying there are those who are not very strong in the faith. They're maybe young in the Lord. Receive them, but he makes a contingency. He says, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, don't argue. Don't come at one another in terms of your view of the scripture and their understanding of the scripture. For example, he goes on in verse 2, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." I remember years ago there was a dear lady who attended our church, and she said God told her not to drink coffee. Well, praise God, if that's what he told you, then by his grace, you must not do that. However, don't point your finger at those who enjoy coffee or tea or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So Paul, in that 14th chapter, that's, you know, he is so explicit there, and he speaks so clearly on how we should treat one another. We're all in various places in the Lord. I want you to hear me, beloved. You may have served the Lord for many years. You're mature in the faith. You're strong in the faith. There are those that may not agree with you, but you know what? Just pray for them. In Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 1 and 4, it goes on to say, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Of course, they may not understand. But he's saying, let love be the bottom line. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. And he gives an example of Jesus. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Another translation of Romans 15 and 1 puts it like this: "We who have strong faith should help those who are weak." What is weak faith really? Well, it is that dimension of faith, or that portion of faith, or that the size of faith, if you will. I'm groping for words, but it limits the receiving of personal benefits that God has said is available to us. And unfortunately, much weak faith is due to wrong teachings. Many people argue over non-essentials, and they limit the blessings they could have. Thousands of people argue clothesline religion, what one should drink or eat, wear or do in life. From the scriptures we've just read, we find the kingdom of God does not consist in meat, drink, and personal details of life that are not specifically forbidden in scripture. Hear what I'm saying now. There is a freedom and there's a liberty. Scripture is very clear in terms of what is sin. But the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm thinking of an experience I had once with some ministers. My husband was from Oklahoma, and he grew up with that clothesline religion. And, you know, there are some bodies of believers that don't believe women should wear slacks, they shouldn't wear makeup. In fact, there's some that don't wear jewelry, even wedding rings. There are some who believe that you have to worship on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, as the Jews do. And if you're not, you're not going to make it in. I can remember once it was supposed to be a prayer conference call, but this one brother was going off about those who celebrated Christmas, that he and his wife, while all of their family celebrated that pagan holiday, they would not join them on Christmas. They would go join them after Christmas, the day following. However, they would not eat any of that food because it was, quote, food sacrificed to idols. That's literally what he said. And I will not share the comments or the thoughts that went through my mind. However, beloved, this is an example that we, you know, if that's how you feel, praise God. Don't judge him who is strong, however. Romans 14 is very clear on that. And also, we who have the liberty, whatever we do, we must do in love, and let not your liberty cause a weak brother to stumble. Paul tells us in Romans 14, 17 through 23, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore, let's hear this, follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat, destroy not the work of God. You know, if you feel it's wrong for a woman to wear slacks, then please, goodness sakes, don't wear slacks. However, you know, when you look at how they dressed in biblical times, the men wear dresses. But anyway, I hope you understand my heart and where I'm going. He goes on to say, in Paul, in Romans, the 14th chapter, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you hear how critical that is? And then he says, and I'm saying that to all of you listening out there, whatever your opinions, whatever your convictions in Scripture, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, I don't think anyone could say it more eloquently than the beloved Apostle Paul. He's one of the first folks I'm going to look up when I'm in heaven. I tell you, I've learned to love that man the more I've grown in the Lord and the wisdom and the revelation that God gave him. And so, beloved, I'm sharing with you Scripture. I'm sharing you the very things that if Paul were with us, he'd say it just as strongly, perhaps in more modern colloquial terms, but the message would be the same. We've been called to walk in faith. We've been called to walk in love. They will know that we are Christians by our love, that old song we used to sing. Praise God. Well, I love you, and I thank you for joining me. Some of you are so faithful. Some of you may be relatively new, and I invite you to become part of my spiritual family, the UCM prayer and correspondence aspect of this ministry. If you have specific prayer needs, I invite you to write, share those needs. The announcer will give our contact information, or you're just maybe being blessed by the broadcast. If so, would love to hear from you. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.